How are you guys today? I tell you, God is good. Don't you love God's presence? It is food for my spirit. Keep dwelling in the presence of the Lord. Keep searching Him. Find people who are on fire for the Lord. Befriend them. I'm serious. You know? The presence of the Lord is in our midst. Do not forsake the assembly of the Lord. Kathy and I, we were having a conversation the other day, and she said, "Man, you know what? You're a preacher that doesn't do series, right? I don't do series, right? But I just happen to be always on a series." I'm like, you know what? It's not planned. But I tell you, the more I'm studying the kingdom, the more I'm realizing it's so deep. I cannot stop talking about the kingdom. Because the church have fallen away from the message. You know, I read in Matthew that Jesus, He corrected His disciples one day. One day the disciples came to Jesus, they were talking, and some of them said, "Well, what shall we eat?" I mean, Jesus didn't all of a sudden start teaching them out of the blue about not to worry. It's because there was a conversation about, you know, what shall we do? What shall we eat? You know, about the future. Just like some of us are doing. A lot of us, we are, you know, we're worrying about tomorrow. We're worrying about our children, about great grandchildren. Some of us do have great grandchildren. We do worry. We worry every day. Don't raise your hand, but don't say amen about that, but don't we worry? But seriously, guys, don't we worry? Yes. But thank God that Jesus, He understood us. He understands us. He knows. Jesus is a high priest that has been through it. And He is also a high priest we can count on. I can count on Him. I can count on Jesus. "What shall we eat?" They said. What shall we do? What shall we wear? Some people worry about their bank account. Some people worry about their retirement. Some people worry about by the time they retire, there might not be any money in Social Security. But some people also said they've been saying that in the past 40 years. And then Jesus corrected the disciples. He told them, "Seek first the kingdom. Seek to understand and embrace the kingdom." That's what I'm after. And that's why I'm here this morning, to challenge you. The kingdom's church. I didn't get a chance to talk to you, Xavier, but you can send my note up there. The kingdom's church. Seek first the kingdom, He told the disciples. Seek to understand. This is it. Seek to understand the kingdom. The kingdom of God is a country. Each country has a constitution. This is the constitution. The kingdom of God has a king. The name is God. And God didn't create us as servants. God created us in His image. Imagine that. We are different than the angels. The angels doesn't have a will. God created the angels to holy. That's what the angels do. That's what the angels do. Holy, holy. Holy, holy God Almighty. That's what the angels do. Nonstop. Every day, nonstop. The angels have eternal life. God created them so they can worship Him, sing His praise, declare His wonders. But God was talking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He's like, man, let's make Adam in our resemblance. Let's make Aaron, Aaron, an angel. Let's make this beautiful girl right there. What's your name again? Yeah, it's you. What's your name? Put her on the spot. Sorry. Heavens? Heavens. God created you in His image. God created George in His image. God created you, ma'am, in His image. Above the angels. So we could rule the earth. See, now remember, when Adam fell, Adam fell from dominion because God gave him authority. So Jesus came to restore us from a place of not controlling the earth, to restore us to the place of relationship with the Father. That's why I believe the more I read the Bible, I realize Jesus, He came, He preached nothing else but the kingdom. I encourage you to read, keep reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, so you know, even the book of Acts. Why did the primitive church was so efficient? Why was the power of the Lord so evident in their midst? It's because they understood the kingdom. It wasn't about a church. You see, now each culture, each country has its culture. Each country has its culture. Now, I grew up in a Haitian culture. In a Haitian culture, there is no such a thing about personal space. Come on, where are you going? Stay right here, girl. See, now she's probably very uncomfortable right now. But I tell you, where I come from, we jab together. There's always room for more, right? There is. But here, here in the States, that's just something very small, right? Very minimum. Everybody's so independent. It didn't used to be like that. But we grew up in a culture where people are distant, growing farther from each other. It used to be we lived in community. The kingdom of God, understand, of Christ, the church, I'm talking about the church of Christ, is a community of people who understand we are here for one another. We are part of one another. I've never seen my left hand fighting with my left. This is my right hand, sorry. Good. I caught it. Man, can you imagine me later listening to my sermon and I'm like, my left hand? Sorry, right hand. But yeah. See, my right hand never in division with my left foot. My body is always in one accord, harmony, unity. See, God doesn't want us to become material focus or earthly focus. He wants us to be kingdom minded. And I pray this every day over me, over God's church. If there is a time for us to be kingdom minded, it is right now. As a matter of fact, if you want to get wet with water, man, oh yeah, I have water, but I'll spare you today. You don't have to pray. If any of us here wants to get wet, it's very easy. What do? Get in the shower. Jump in the pool. You don't have to pray. If you want to get burned, you don't have to pray for more heat. Although, I see it's getting cooler. Praise the Lord. God give us all seasons. You hear me, praise the Lord, all throughout winter. I don't think winter is coming yet, so hang on. But still, the other day I saw it was, I felt like, man, I'm a little cold. And I checked it was 73. Like, man, was like, oh my God, let's do this. Me and my warmth, I tell you, we have something together. Very, very, it's very good. So if you want to get burned, you don't have to pray for heat. Just find fire, right? I believe it's the same thing. It's like the kingdom. The kingdom is like getting into an environment where what you desire can happen. The kingdom of God, listen to me. The kingdom of God is getting into an environment where the atmosphere of heaven is dominating. Now help me out. What are some of the things that characterize the kingdom of God?
Righteousness.
So therefore, we as the people of God, we should be right. We should be just people. Righteousness is doing the right thing, doing the next right thing, right? So righteousness in a culture, in a church, where God, the presence of the Lord, Jesus is the head, we understand, when we understand the kingdom, that church, the atmosphere, people that are part of the community, righteousness is gonna be valuable. That makes sense? Thankfulness. So we're thankful people. Give me some other things.
Joy.
Got the joy down in my heart. Not because things are right, but because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Faithfulness. Come on. Tell me some more.
Kindness.
Because it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. You see, even for me, it took me a long time to understand that. Because sometimes we want to get back at people. But it is the kindness of God that leads us back to repentance. That's why the world needs to understand God is not mad at them. God is not like your father. Some of us really had bad fathers. Some of us had good fathers. But even the good fathers, they still couldn't cut it. God is not like your father. God is not like my father. That's why me as a dad, I'm trying to be like God so I could be a good dad. It's still hard. Because sometimes you just want to screw it, blew it. Right, George? You got me, brother. I'm not alone. So this is what we desire. You know, let's read some scripture. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 43. You know, I believe that Luke chapter 4 has some statement that are very helpful for us today. You know, Jesus came, the Bible says Jesus, but he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Luke chapter 4, verse 43. I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom to other towns, because that is why I was sent. So now, if I ask you, you know, Christmas is coming up, and if I ask you, why did Jesus come? Most of us will say, well, Jesus came to save the lost, right? Amen. That's good. Good answer. But most of the time, we miss it. How would he save the lost? Jesus came to preach the kingdom. The main message, the focus point for Jesus' message was the kingdom. Luke chapter 12, verse 33. There's another verse. Go there if you can. Luke 12, verse 33. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Now, verse 29, that's when Jesus was talking to the disciples, like, you know what? Do not worry. The kingdom of God is still under, do not worry, because, you know, God will take care of you. Just look at the birds, look at the flowers. You know, God provide for them. So therefore, he told the disciples, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And then he's like, don't be afraid, my little flock. You know? It's like your cat, right? At home. Or your dog. I mean, that dog never worry. You know why? You got him. If you could have the faith of your dog, the faith the dog has in you, your little fish at home, that thing never have to worry. That thing sleep, wake up, I mean even to go party. He doesn't have to worry about it. Because if you don't take him out, he'll party wherever you have him. And then that's your problem. So he doesn't, you know, that little cat, I tell you, man, is like, you know, Max has no worry. Because you got him. Could we be Max in God's house? Could we be whatever your pet is? Whatever your pet's name? That little cat at home? I mean, I find myself just like giving the cat love, you know, once in a while. We care for them. God cares for you. And this is not just a word I'm telling you. This is the truth. It's the reality. And until you believe it, until you receive it, and you start acting on it, you never experience it. You never experience it. Don't be afraid, my little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you what? The kingdom. God has given us the kingdom. The kingdom of God is still not understood today. And that's why the more I'm studying the kingdom, the more I'm getting deeper in it. I'm like, wow, you know what? We miss it. I mean, sometimes people are looking for a 3-point sermon. I mean, yeah, I have actually, as a matter of fact, I've got a lot of points. But when God speaks to you, what do you do with the word he gives you? Because I'm going to get there. Luke chapter 4, I read it. It says, the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has proclaimed free, has appointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This was the word of Jesus. So the kingdom, us as citizens of heaven, when we go under the Spirit of the Lord, we encounter people declaring, hey, this is the year of the Lord. This is the year. If there is a time to make things right with the Lord, it's right now. Don't wait. If there's a time to get on fire for Jesus, it is right now. The more you understand the kingdom, the easier it is to be the church. That's why I will never, from now on, I'm like, man, I mean, I remember when I got saved in 1996, I got saved because I read the Bible. I grew up in church. I grew up in religion. As a matter of fact, I was part of the worship team. I love to play. I would be the first one there Sunday morning because I just love to play. I played electric. I loved it. I don't know, for some reason, I don't know, God gave me a passion for music. I loved it. And I would get there, I would play. I mean, I remember, guys. Oh, man, I would be like, Kendrick, and remember that. I would be like, I feel so good playing, man. You're grooving, you know, island music feels good. Church is done. Oh, something else I remember. Doing worship, I'm good. Doing sermon, I sleep. Check your neighbor, see if somebody's sleeping. You might find someone sleeping today. I hope not. But you know what? I would never stick around to shake anybody's hands because I didn't like people. I didn't want to be involved with people. I just wanted to go and play my music and go home. I didn't want to do anything else. I missed it. The more we understand the kingdom, the easier it is for us to be the church. I read in Matthew chapter 24, if you're taking notes, you can read that. Matthew 24 verse 14. It says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then the end will come. You know, sometimes I'm wondering, I don't know yet, I didn't do my research this week about this, my recent research. But you know what? The return of the Lord is near. Because I doubt if there is not a group of people in the world that haven't heard the gospel. I say that with reserve until I can verify it. But I believe everybody knows. But like I was saying, God created us like Him. He gave us, so He gave each of us a will to follow Him, not like the angels. You and I, you out there watching, listen, you have a will to listen to the voice of the Lord and make things right. God said, I want the kingdom to preach all over the world. The good news is when you enter the kingdom citizenship, heavenly government covering kicks in. What does that mean? When you enter the kingdom, heavenly governing or covering, heavenly covering kicks in. You see, we were all born in sin. When you confess sin, I'm going to get there. Let me, before I jump ahead. How do you enter the kingdom? This is it. First of all, by confessing that Jesus is our Lord. How many people here have you know in your knowing? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5 says that. Examine yourself. Know that you know. Know that you know. Know that you know that you belong to Jesus. Know that you know you have a personal relationship with Him. All right, me, I'm not going to play pastor. I am a son of God. I'm saved. So the trumpet comes, the trumpet sound, I'm going. I tell you guys, listen, follow Jesus. Live by the word of the Lord. Examine yourself. Have you confessed, you kids? Examine yourself. Make sure you know that you know I am a Christian, a born-again believer. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. Make sure you know that. That's how you're born again. That's how you enter the kingdom. That's first step number one. Romans chapter 10, verse 7. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. Do we believe that Jesus is Lord? Can I have a witness? Amen. I believe that Jesus is Lord. Now, not only that, let us confess. Jesus, you are Lord. Oh, you can do better than that. Jesus, you are Lord. Together. Jesus, you are Lord. Oh, together. Jesus, you are Lord. Let's try it again. Jesus, you are Lord. Let's try it one more time. Jesus, you are Lord. That's it. Now, let's make it personal. Jesus, you are my Lord. Let's go. Jesus, you are my Lord. Hallelujah. I believe He's Lord. But He's not just Lord. But He's my Lord. You know, the word Lord means, in the Hebrew word is Adonai. Meaning Adonai. Meaning owner. Jesus is my owner. But, you see, a lot of times, in our human mindset, when we hear owner, we associate it with master and slave. In the kingdom, there's no master, no slave. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John, He says, guys, you're not my slave. You're my friend. Because slave and masters, they have slave and master relationship. Especially in the slave's mentality. I mean, it's just like, I think it's a stronghold in some of the black culture who think that we are still, none of my great-great-great-grandparents were never slaves. So I am a product of my choice. I'm not a victim. As a matter of fact, I was born in a third world country. Guys, if you knew my story, when I was done with school, with high school, my plan was to be a teacher. I wanted to teach. God's got a good sense of humor. I wanted to teach chemistry. Yeah, I love teaching chemistry or math. And we had family difficulties. I couldn't go to college. I didn't go to college after I was done with school. But you know what? God gave me a mind to read. I buy the book. I bought the book, computer book, Windows MS-98, first time. I went to a school. I wanted to fix computer or to teach computer. After I realized I couldn't afford teaching school to go to college to be a teacher, just like, okay, what do? I went to computer school near my house. I couldn't afford it. I saw the book, and I went to town. I bought the book. I read the book from cover to cover. And then I started designing computers on paper. I never knew a computer. I can tell you stories, but this is a different, maybe a different day. God gave me a mind to learn. I learned computer. We bought our first computer. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to offer to teach computer. I find some guy who wanted to learn. I start teaching him. He went home, bought his brother. Then I had him and his brother. Before you know it, I had a computer school. I did. I was a director of a computer school. When the earthquake happened in Haiti, 2010, I had in her dad's compound. I had a classroom up there. I mean, I was making good money. I started hiring people. So you are a product of your choice, because God gives us choice. Slavery was bad. It's evil. It's not in the kingdom. It's not kingdom-minded. But nobody is responsible for your choice. You know, isn't that funny and crazy at the same time? That you live in a generation right now, everybody wants to feel like they're a victim. You're not a victim. You're not. Come talk to me, I'll tell you stories. I've got tons of it. But let me go back to my notes, because sometimes I talk too much. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Anyone who believes in me, Jesus says, will never put to shame. For there is no difference between Jews and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, the rich, blessed all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. John chapter 12, verse 26, it says, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. John chapter 12, verse 26. Luke 9, 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if you want to be my follower, you must turn from your life, from your selfish ways. Take up your cross, follow me. I mean, who wants to receive this word right now? I mean, who wants to forget about their lives? Who wants to do this? Huh? Sometimes it's hard. Isn't it? If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. And that's what's happening. People think, you know what? When you give your life to the Lord, you lose privileges. I tell you, there's no freedom outside of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you imagine? I can choose to drink a beer right now, or I could choose to be like, you know what? I'm not drinking beer for the next year. That's what freedom is. I can choose to be like, you know what? We're just having a good time. Let's smoke a cigar. I'm not a smoker, right? I say that to tell you, when you are under addiction, you're like, well, I can't quit. You know what that means? You're not the owner of your life. That thing owns you. I can't stop eating. Guess what? The spirit of gluttony is your Lord. Oh, I can't stop cheating. I can't stop talking bad about people. Yes, you can. You can. That's the difference between the kingdom message and religion. Because religion tried to tell you, don't do this, don't do that. Don't. You know, it's not about a bunch of wolves. It's the encounter you have with Jesus, and Jesus sets you free. You understand, man, there is power in the name of Jesus. That's just not a song. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus to set you free. So, man, you can be so free. You can choose to forgive. I told you already, you never pray, God, help me forgive. God will never come and help you. If you used to pray this, don't waste your time. God will never come, the Holy Spirit won't come to help you, because He already gives you the willpower to choose. You already know God's word. Should I forgive, Lord? Don't pray that. He already talked to you. He already told you what to do. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Answer me. The answer is no. Luke chapter 9, verse 26. For the Son of Man will come with His angels in the glory of His Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. And I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. See, I told you, to enter the kingdom, you must confess Jesus as your Lord. Secondly, I think a lot of people, this is where they fell. It's a lot easier to say, Jesus, you're my Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. I believe Jesus. Oh, that's easy, right? This is where the rubber hits the road. In Luke chapter 13, this is where we face reality. I mean, none of us here would do that, but can you imagine? If you have a baby, all of a sudden you just put the baby in a room by itself. I don't know how long the baby would last. The baby probably would last 2-3 weeks, but eventually the baby would die. Why? Because there is no interaction and there is no feeding. But before the baby died, the baby would probably start crying, and until the baby's voice went out. I mean, it's a very bad scenario for us to imagine. It's the same thing. Confessing Jesus as our Lord, bang, create that spark in our spirit, we're born again. But if you don't put yourself in an environment where you can, that can contribute for your spiritual growth, you will die. That's why it's a lot easier. I mean, I say it's very easy to know a Christian. What they say, they will know you are Christian by the way you love people, by your fruit. Luke chapter 13, listen to this. Jesus went through the town and the villages, teaching as He went, always pressing on towards Jerusalem. Someone asked Him, Lord, will only a few be saved? This is a good question. That's a very good question. He replied, well, work hard to enter the narrow door to the kingdom. Many will try to enter by wild but will fail. When the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. You will stand outside knocking, pleading, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But He will reply, I don't know you, or where have you come from? Then you will say, Lord, come on now. We ate together. We drank, Lord, we fellowship. You remember Jesus? We went to the mission trip together. Oh, what are you talking about, Lord? I tell you, I don't know you. Get away from me, all who do what? Who do what? Do evil. So our life must be free from evil actions. Our life must be free from evil. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For you will see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you will be thrown out. And people will come all over the world, from east and west, north and south, to take their places in the kingdom of God. And know this, some whom seem least important now will be the greatest then. And some who are the greatest now will be the least important. In other version says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Hold on tight to what you have. Hold on tight to your faith. Stay on the narrow road. Especially nowadays. Before the return of the Lord, it's going to be a lot less popular to be a Christian. People will call you all sorts of names. Talking about holiness. Can you believe it? Nowadays, you know, I know somebody who just had one of their kids went to college. And that kid is a virgin. You know, that person wants to wait before they give themselves in sexual relationship. And now college people are making fun of her. They think she's weird. This is the world we live in. It's honorable. You would never go ahead and pay a contractor before they build your house. It's the same thing for you young girls. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself. Make the guy earn it. Own it. Can I have a witness? We still have some decent young girl that are still have to grow up here. And I'm talking to you. Don't listen to this story. Satan is, he's dominating the world right now. People's mindset is all worldly. The church trade the kingdom culture for the world's culture. Right? Because we want people, right? We want people. We don't want people to feel uncomfortable. What are you talking about? When I read this, even this week again, I was reading this for my own personal life. I mean, there's some things I'm like, man, I really don't like this. But I know it's good for me. Well, it's just like alcohol on a cut, right? It's never good for you. But when you're cleaning that cut, it hurts. But it's for a good purpose. For healing can come. The kingdom church, there will be weeping, Jesus said. Hold on tight to what you have. There's another one. I said, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Secondly, stay on the narrow road. Stay on the non-popular road. That's why hold on tight to what you have. At work, maybe you're a Christian and everybody thinks you're weird. It's okay. Let me be weird for Jesus. Now, don't be religious. Love people. Accept them where they're at. You can't save them. Be nice to them. Be kind to them. Serve them every chance you get. That's what will make the difference. They might not accept the Lord as their Savior, but they will notice. Because your light, you'll be surprised. Right? You'll be surprised. They know. They know, this person. Do not compromise your conviction for the sake of friendship with the world. Do not compromise your conviction for the sake of friendship with the world. Don't do it. You want everybody to like you. You know, and I think that's why I believe social media is a really good thing to stay in touch with your friends and family. But it's very dangerous because we all are starving for likes. But then yet you have this, the master of universe, the king of kings, who wants to lavish likes on you. But you don't want it. God's like, man, I like you. Like all over. Like. Your identity is in me. Like. Your value is not in Nike, Reebok, or whatever it is they wear. Those are good things to have. But your values is, man, I know who I am. I am a son of God. I know God loves me. I know I can do it. I know I have a family, grandma, grandpa, uncle, auntie, mom, and dad. They love me. But that's not the world. That's not what people want to hear. We still have to tell them. The other thing is live a yielded life. And this section here I took from the book, The Presence-Based Ministry. See, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says, then Jesus went to work with his disciples. He said, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You are not in the driver's seat. I posted something on Facebook this week, and I asked a question. I'm not sure if I got any answer. How many of us like? Okay, that's good. But how many of us here likes to be in the passenger seat? Okay. Okay, all right. Okay, but now, let's see. There's no doubt your partner or whoever is driving is a good driver, right? If you can really count on that person. But even so, even if that person is a good driver, some of us, we still like to be in the driver's seat. Jesus is saying, guess what? If you want to follow me, my dear, you gotta let me drive. Get off. This is this passage, it's Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to 28. I love the Message version. I read it in all the versions, but I love the way they put it. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, if you want to be a follower in the kingdom, let me drive. Let me lead you. Give me control. Give me access. Give me the control. I mean, it's terrible when someone is driving. I mean, I've learned that with Ryan. Ryan is a good driver. When he's driving, I don't do that anymore. But it's like all of a sudden you're not sure if they're going to make the right action. It's like it's frustrating, right? I get it. How many people in the church pretend or they say they're serving Christ, but guess who's on the driver's seat? They are. It doesn't work. You have to let Jesus lead. You are not in the driver's seat. You cannot be in the driver's seat and confess or believe that Jesus is your Lord. As a matter of fact, in verse 24, Jesus says, this version says, Jesus replied, you're not in the driver's seat. I am in the driver's seat. So if you're driving, and then your wife keeps saying, well, turn here, turn there. Well, you can say, Luke, Matthew 16, I am in the driver's seat, not you. You didn't know this was in the verse. You didn't know this was in the Bible. I am in the driver's seat. Do you want to drive? I don't want you to drive. I am driving. I hope you get it. Jesus is telling you this morning, you're not in your driver's seat. Let me lead. Let me drive. He will take you home. He will take you there. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I will show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself. Your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade for your soul? Isn't that a good verse? Oh my goodness. This is the Bible, the Word of God. See, the key to growth in the kingdom of God is not the viability of the Word or just seeing it, but it's the receptivity of the Word. What do you do upon receiving God's Word? When you receive God's Word, do you yield to it? If you yield to God's Word, that's how you will grow. If you receive God's Word, you accept it. Personal experience. I grow. My spiritual growth happens when I read the Bible and I realize, okay, this I got to do. And I kill the flesh. When I say I kill the flesh, you know what I mean. I do the things of the Spirit instead of doing the things I want. It's the worst thing when you're mad at someone or when you really hate someone for you to forgive them. Or for, it could be a family member, for you to be nice to them. Unless you die to yourself, it's impossible to do. But I tell you this, it is possible when you die to yourself. It is possible to forgive, take the hurt to Christ, allow him to bring restoration. When you decide to follow Jesus, you have no right. It's my right. Let me let you think on that for maybe a couple seconds. I know in our democratic mindset, that democratic mindset, this is like, no, I have right. We all have rights. But when you decide to follow Christ, you give all your rights to him. That's what it means. You don't have rights. The only right you would have, as a matter of fact, the word of the Lord says it in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, you do have a right. You do have a debt. You owe love to everybody. Oh, I have a right. My right. Everybody's my right. You're thinking, while they're arguing for their rights, they're violating everybody else's right. We all have rights. You give him all your will. That's why we sing, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I told you the word Lord means Savior, owner. So he owns you, but not to punish you. Not to make you things that would hurt you. God is the only God that has done it. Jesus Christ is the only one that has given him his life. Matthew 18, verse 13. I know I'm throwing a lot of verse at you, but you can read them later. You know, at the time, the disciple came to Jesus and asked him, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them and said, I think the more I'm growing older or wiser, the more I'm liking the mindset of a child. Because when you become an adult, you think too much. And our thoughts puts us in a box and block us. I mean, like that little girl, Donna and Dave, Gary brings sometimes. She just wants us. How many of you sometimes during worship, you feel like you want to dance? Lord, I know some of you, maybe you might not want to do that. It's like, you know, what song we were doing this morning? Every praise to our God, every word of worship. How many of you feel like doing that? But you don't have to raise your hands. Oh, amen. But why don't you do it? Oh, my goodness. Why don't you do it? You know why? Because you're too grown up here. Let's go there. David. David was a guardian of sheep. If the Lord wasn't on his side, if the Lord's plan in his life, for his life, wasn't for him to be king, there's no way he would have been king. There's no way he would have been anointed king. Because his father, when the prophet showed up to anoint one of his sons, his father didn't even think about him. The father brought the good-looking ones, the tall ones. He's like, nah, this one can't be a king. But David, you know what he did? In the back, in the bushes, with the animals, grab his harps, guitar, sing praise and worship to God. So he developed a personal relationship with God. God knows his heart. God's like, you know what? For my people, this is the king. And then all of a sudden, later on, years later, David has entered the Jerusalem. You know, David's dancing. You remember the story? He's dancing. Oh, give praise. Oh, this is where I've been. God is so faithful to me. David's dancing. You know, finally, David's like, he's out of it. Because now he's so God-focused. He's like, man, this shirt is just like hindering me from dancing. He starts taking his shirt off, you know, and he's dancing. And his wife, who grew up in the palace, looked down on him like, man, this is a king. This is nothing for a king to do. David's like, women, you don't know where I've been. So when we praise, when then lead worship, you feel like dancing. Please, please, dance. You grew, you in your mind, you're too grown up. I'm serious. Because when we come here, we come to meet with God. You feel like clapping your hands? You do. You know, I know some of you might not have rhythm. But I'm saying this, there is freedom in this place. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I want you to, I'm opening the door wide open to enter in the freedom of the Lord. I'd love to see people do flags. Seriously. I'd love to, some of you, maybe if you can't dance, give you a flag. Do it. You know, this is about Jesus, man. What are you talking about? Be free to clap. Be free to dance. Be free to raise your hands. Be free to hop. Be free to shake. I'm serious. Don't let anything stop you. Because when you say Jesus is my Lord, you're giving him full control. Truly, I tell you, Jesus said, unless you change and become like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom. That's why we need a child mindset. We need a child attitude. I want to be a child when it comes to dealing with God. You know, 3, 6 years old, innocent, obedient. Not a. We don't want to be like a stubborn toddler, because those could be a pain in your neck. You know. You know. Little kid who wants you to tell them stories every night before that you go to bed. You tell them the same story, it don't matter. They just want to hear it. Tell them the stories every night, the same thing. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. And I challenge you to do the same thing. Jesus taught that yieldedness to God is the key to enter the kingdom of God. It's not just confessing. Yieldedness. I'm yield. You know? I'm yielding to the word of God. Yieldedness to God is the key also to fruitfulness. If you want to see fruit in your life, you got to yield. You got to yield, guys. Let us all yield together. I will yield to the word of God. I want to see fruit of holiness in my life. So I got to yield. Yield. Give it up. Make a choice. Give it up. Make whatever it is. Live a free life. Live free. You can pray for people. You can be a blessing in people's life. See, God does not give you a spirit that makes you timid or afraid. See, when you live in perfect harmony with the Lord, you understand the kingdom, you'll never be shy to talk about God. What's the worst that can happen if you ask somebody if they know Jesus? They say, no, don't talk to me about Jesus. Well, you say, okay, no problem. Why should I be afraid to tell him about Christ? You see, we've lost it. Are you still with me? The kingdom of God, it's impossible to bear fruit. So my last point, I'm going to leave it for some other time. It's the mission of the church and the vision of the kingdom church. The mission and the vision of the kingdom church. The mission to make disciples. to train. See, how would I train you if people don't come to church? Or if I pray for somebody, they give their life to Christ, and they decide, well, they don't want to grow. How would you be trained if we don't share life together? I'll invite Dan to come. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, we yield our lives this morning to you. Father, we accept your word, and we want to act on it. We want to do the exact thing that would contribute to our spiritual growth. Jesus, we choose the narrow road this morning. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your word.